أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى وقال الإمام الباقر عليه الصلاة والسلام والله لقد فطمها الله بالعلم صلوات Please recite in Surat al-Fatiha and three times Surat al-Ikhlas for the soul, the father of Brother Hamid Kabrichi. We are in the nights very close to the Munasabat of the Istishhad, the martyrdom of the greatest lady of the history of humankind, Sayyidatu Nisa' al-Alamin, Min al-Awwaleen wal-Akhireen, Zahra al-Batul, Salamullahi alayha. And I find it very relevant tonight to talk about a little bit about this greatest personality. The personality of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha is one of the highest personalities in the history of humankind. Second only in her azmat to the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa sallam. Among the 11 imams, we have dalail and evidences to believe that the daraja of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha is superior and afdal than the rest of the 11 imams. the ma'rifat, an in-depth recognition, and shanacht, how we say in Farsi, the shanacht of this personality, is wajib on every believer. Every mu'min has the wajib on his neck to have the ma'rifat of Sayyidah Zahra salamullahi alayha. Now, when we talk about the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt, the Ma'sumin alayhim salam, their shakhsiyat is of two types. How my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi hafadahullah describes shakhsiyat haqiqi, how he described in Farsi shakhsiyat haqiqi wa shakhsiyat huquqi. Shakhsiyat haqiqi in Farsi, what he's trying to say is that the kunhuzat, the reality of the of their existence, just like the kunhuzat, the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is impossible to be recognized by any human being or any creature, because simply a creature is unable to measure or fathom or engulf the creator. Similarly, the kunhuzat and the reality of the essence of Ma'sumin, the infallibles, is impossible to be recognized by any creature in the universe, because they are the madhar and reflection of every name of Allah without exception. And they are the al-khalifa al-al-itlaq. They are the vicegerent and deputies of Allah in the absolute term. So nothing is exempt. So that kind of absolute walayat and supremacy and tasallut and control, Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam enjoy over the whole universe, because they represent Allah in every name of Allah. So when this is the kind of personalities, it makes sense that the kunhuzat, what in Farsi they say, shakhsiyat haqiqi, the kunhuzat, the real essence of their personality, is impossible to be recognized. Because we are so weak, we human beings are so weak, we are unable to understand the depths and the implications of even one name of Allah. Forget about the thousand names. Even one name of Allah, we, the human beings, you know, who are weak, we are unable to even measure and fathom and engulf the depths and implications of one name. So it makes sense that we are unable to engulf and fathom and measure that in the depths and the implications of all the names. So those who are, walaikum salam, representing all the names of Allah in their personality are unable to be recognized by us. But this is about the shakhsiyat huquqi, the reality of their essence. But shakhsiyat, this is about shakhsiyat haqiqi, the reality of their essence. The shakhsiyat huquqi of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, how my teacher says, relates to the mansab that they enjoy. The mansab which they enjoy on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul, is the Nabi and the Rasul and the Wali and the Qadi. Isn't it right? These are the four, you know, if you want to sum up the Nubuwwat and Risalat together, although we believe there are differences in Ilm al-Kalam between Nubuwwat and Risalat, but if you want to sum up Nubuwwat and Risalat, count them together, then he enjoys the position of Risalah al-Uzma, the greatest message of Allah that he represented. So that's the position number one. We are, you know, counting Risalat to be the position, and you know, because Nubuwwat is definitely another position, but it's something under the banner of Risalat. A Rasul is afdal than the Nabi. So if you count the mansab of Risalat as first position, The second position that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoys is the mansab of walaya, means hukumat. He is the mawla. فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَاهُ فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَاهُ. Whomsoever I am his mawla, this Ali is his mawla. So Prophet is also the mawla, isn't it right? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَايَ وَأَنَا مَوْلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَنَا أَوْلَى بِهِمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Didn't he say in the khutbah of Ghadir that certainly Allah is my mawla and hakim? وَأَنَا مَوْلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And I am the hakim. Mawla means hakim. I am the ruler over the believers. وَأَنَا أَوْلَى بِهِمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. So basically, the second position that Prophet enjoys is the mansab of imamat and walayat. Rasulullah is the imam al-muslimin and the waliyul muslimin and mawla al-muslimin and mu'mineen and mawla al-nas. We say mawla al-mu'mineen and muslimin because the rest of the people who don't believe in the Prophet, they're not believing in him, but the walayat of Rasulullah extends over them as well, whether they believe or they don't believe. Rasulullah is the mawla of the annase ajma'een, of all the humanity. That's the second mansab. And the third mansab that Rasulullah enjoys is the mansabul qada. He is the qadi and supreme judge on behalf of Allah. So every human is obliged shar'an to turn to Rasulullah for all the decisions and all the conflicts. That's why we believers do not go to the tawaghit. We don't go to the kuffar for our resolutions of the in the conflicts. We go to our own, we follow our own Islamic process. Our own Islamic process, we in the time of ghaibat of the imam, we go to the mujtahid, al-jami' al-shara'it, conditions fulfilling mujtahid, or his wakil. That's the Islamic process. We don't file cases against fellow believers just because we have some dispute happening. You know, this is how you find how much mutadayyin a person is. The people who are claiming to be mutadayyin, a little bit something happens between them, and you find they are filing petitions against each other in the mahkamatul kufr. Yuriduna an yatahakamu ila al-tahut wa qad umiru an yakfuru bih. So mansabul qada, ما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم. Isn't it right? So there is no right given to any mu'min and believer once Allah and His Messenger gives the verdict. Mu'mineen do not have the right, you know, to think that they have now, they still have choice to decide. When Allah and His Messenger has given His hukum and verdict, they don't have any choice. Quran is very, very clear. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا. Isn't it right? Allah is asking us that we are not, in the light of this verse of Holy Quran, we learn that we are not even supposed to have bad heart feeling in our hearts. Why did Rasulullah say that? I wish this kind of hukum should not be in the Sharia. It does not make sense to me. It's not ma'kool. It's not mantiqi. It doesn't click in my mind. I wish Imam Ali did not say this hukum. If this kind of feeling is there in the heart, then we are going against the Holy Quran. From the heart, a mu'min is radi and pleased with all the qada and decisions that Allah and His Messenger and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, who are the khulafa of Allah, make for our lives. This is what iman is. So the third mansab that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoys is the mansabul qada. As the rihlat of the Prophet, his departure happened, now the mansab of nubuwwat and risalat is no longer there. No one can be the Nabi, isn't it right? No one can be the Rasul after the Prophet. أَمَا تَرْضَىٰ أَن تَكُونَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَىٰ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. Prophet said to Imam Ali Salaam several times. This hadith has been narrated, it's mutawatir, several times from Ahl Sunnah wa Shia both. Prophet had said to Imam Ali Islam that, are you not radi that you towards me, your status towards me is similar to Harun, Harun towards Musa, except as the Prophet after me. So mansab of Nubuwwat and Risalat is no longer there, no longer, no further person will be, you know, is going to be the Nabi or the Rasul, but the mansab of Walayat and Imamat continues. And likewise, the mansab of qada, judgments, continue. So, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is the wali and imam al-Muslimin and mawla. So, mansab of imamat and walayat continues with Imam Ali alayhi salam. And likewise, mansab al-qada, judgments, continues with Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, everyone is now supposed to turn to Imam Ali alayhi salam for their judgments, for getting the verdict. So basically, my teacher was saying that the door of Nubuwwat is shut, the door of Risalat is shut, the door of Imamat is also shut. So we cannot be the Imam Al-Masoom. We only have 12 Imams, isn't it right? There's no one. Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam is the Khatamul Aimma and Khatamul Awsiya. He is the seal of the deputies. There cannot be any Al-Imam Al-Masoom after Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. So the door of Imamat is shut, the door of Nubuwwat is shut, the door of Risalat is shut, but the door of Walayat is never shut in Islam. Anyone can be one of the Waliyullah, can be part of the Awliyaullah. You know, depending on the level of qurb, you know, al-walyo in Arabic, the root word of the walayat, waw and lam and ya, al-walyo yani al-qurb. That's the real meaning of the word, you know, and mawla has 16 meanings, isn't right, and all the controversy in the Muslim community about what's the meaning of faman kunta mawlahu. فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَاهُ. That's a different story. But if you go to the root of the matter, you know, you open up the dictionary and you find the meaning, الْوَلْيُ يَعْنِي الْقُرْبُ كُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ, how they say in Arabic, eat from what is close to you, مِمَّا يَقْرُبُكَ. So, walayat, door is never shut. We can all become مُقَرَّب and close to Allah depending on the taharat of the qalb. So now coming back to the point that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha's actual, the essence of her personality, kunhuzat, is unknown to us, the weak human beings, the sinners. Her personality is only known to the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Her personality is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the rest of the human beings who are, you know, who are not included in the Ahlul Bayt, none of them can reach the highness, none of them can even understand her highness. Because Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam has said in his hadith that لَوْلَا أَنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ تَزَوَّجَهَا مَا كَانَ لَهَا كُفْوًا عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ آدَمْ فَمَنْ دُونَهُ. Had it not been for Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen to marry her, had it not been for Amir al-Mu'mineen to marry her, she would not have any kufu, any parallel from Adam. That means you start seeing, counting from Adam till all those who came after him. From the first human till the last human being. No human can parallel the highness of the spirituality of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, so no human can become her spiritual counterpart to marry. Isn't it right? In Islam, we do marriages among spiritual counterparts. Someone whose spirituality is similar to your spirituality. This is what we look for. Iman and taqwa and akhlaq. All these three things, the hometown of Iman is the soul, not the body. The hometown of taqwa is found in the soul. The akhlaq and the moral values are found in the soul. So, this is the highness of her kunhuzat, but her, there's a shaksiyat-e-haqiqi, there's a legality of her personality, which is within the reach of everyone. The second aspect, shakhsiyat-e-hukuki. That means the legal aspect. Legal aspect means whatever applies on my and your life in everyday life. What applies? What do we benefit from believing in these personalities? They are the awliya-ullah. They are khulafa-ullah fi ardih. Isn't that right? When we believe in the awliya-ullah, in the khulafa of Allah, in the madahir, those who are the madhar of the asma of Allah, what benefit do we get? That aspect is the legal aspect of their personality. The legal in the sense that the mansab, the legal position they enjoy on behalf of Allah, that position is obliging us to recognize their position and to accept them as our wali and to be obedient and tabi' and obedient towards their commands. This is the legal aspect of their personality. And that aspect is within the reach of every human being. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the ayat of Quran which I recited in the beginning, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَىٰ. This ayat of Holy Quran is enough to make the widad of Ahlul Bayt wajib on everyone. The muhabbat, mawaddat and widad of Ahlul Bayt is wajib on every human being. Our teacher was saying, how can you love somebody without knowing somebody? You need to first recognize, you need to first have the ma'rifat of that somebody in order to start loving that person, isn't that right? So ma'rifat comes first. Even if you look at the hadith al-Qudsi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, man abadani faqad arifani. Isn't that right? Look at the sequence, look at the tarteeb. Man abadani faqad arifani. So first is the ibadat, then comes the ma'rifat. Ma'rifat is the byproduct of ibadat. After doing the ibadat, you get the noor of ma'rifat from Allah into the qalb. So ma'rifat comes after your ibadat. And then the hadith in Qudsi says, wa man arifani faqad ahabbani. Isn't it right? Whoever has my ma'rifat will end up loving me. So muhabbat comes after the ma'rifat. Nobody can say, I love someone but I don't recognize who that person is. That doesn't add up at all. You need to have first the ma'rifat, then and only then you can love somebody. So obviously ibadat is impossible to be done. Man abadani faqad arifani. Whoever worships me will end up having my ma'rifat. Now, how can we do the worship unless we have the ilm? Isn't it right? So we need to first learn the knowledge, ilm of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and that's how we empower ourselves to perform the ibadat, which brings the noor of ma'rifat. Now, the highness of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, it helps us to understand her highness that the preparation for the nutfa of Sayyida Zahra salamullah alayha, the preparation for conceiving a child, this preparation happens when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken on Mi'raj by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the muqaddima of the wujud of Sayyida Zahra salamullah alayha starts from the Mi'raj of the Holy Prophet. Now you can understand her azmat. Rasulullah was taken to Mi'raj by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is where the preparation starts. According to what my teacher says, zameen-e ye takavvun on bano dar mi'raj faraham shud. Zameen-e ye takavvun on bano dar mi'raj faraham shud. Her existence, the preparation for the existence of this great personality happened on the occasion of mi'raj. You can understand how high she is. Isn't it right? Prophet had been brought the food from paradise. And the food was brought for Hazrat Sayyidah Khadija sallallahu alayha from paradise. And that's how is the preparation is taking place. And this is why our scholars say that Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha in her existence is mulkiyul wujud and malakutiyul baqa. Just like the Holy Quran is mulkiyul wujud and malakutiyul baqa. Why just like the Holy Quran? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in his hadith have made the Ahlul Bayt as Idlul Quran. Idl means mu'adil, parallel. Inni tarakun fikum al-saqalain kitab Allahi wa itrati ahla bayti. Isn't it right? So Ahlul Bayt are the Idl of Quran. When Rasulullah is making something to be parallel to the Quran, you know, then obviously, just like the Holy Quran is mulkiyul huduth, but malakutiyul baqa, similarly, that's the wujud of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. Now, the hujjiyat, she's the hujjat of Allah. Hujjat of Allah on everyone, other than Rasulullah and other than Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. نحن حجة الله على الخلق وفاطمة حجته علينا. Isn't it right? Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam has said that we are the hujjat of Allah on the creatures, and Fatima is his hujjat upon us. So 11 of the imams are under the hujjiyat of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. So now this is how high she is. Now hujjiyat, no one can do this i'tiraz that Sayyidah Zahra salamullahi alayha is not a Nabi. She's not a Rasul, she's not an Imam. So how is the Hujjiyat coming? Hujjiyat, our scholars say, the Milak and Mizan of Hujjiyat in Islam is the Ismat of the person. The Unwan of Hujjiyat is not the Imamat. The Unwan of Hujjiyat is the Ismat of that person. And when the Milak and Mizan is the Ismat of the person, we all know that the Ismat of Sayyidah Zahra salamullah alayha is that high that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا. A person who is the markaz of tathir. Hum Fatimato wa abuha wa ba'luha wa banuha. She is the markaz. She is the center, focal point, central point of the tathir. In the gathering of tathir, Sayyidah Zahra sallallahu alayha is the focal point of the whole event. This shows her highness. And obviously, knowledge in Islam is directly proportional to the level of your taharat of the qalb. The hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, which I recited in the beginning of my speech. In this hadith, which is narrated in Al-Kafi volume 1, where Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam has said, Wallahi laqad fatamaha Allahu bil ilm. So we can understand that the knowledge of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha takes its roots from Allah himself. The knowledge of all the Ahlul Bayt is ilmun ladunni. This is the knowledge that has been awarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like we talked about, for those of you who were present in the milad of Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayha, I mentioned about her knowledge, which is nothing but ilmun ladunni from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is the level of the knowledge. When this is the level of the knowledge, obviously the ismat the taharat of the qalb can be understood. A person for whom Allah provides his ilmun ladunni enjoys that high level of ismat, and this is the reason why a person deserves that level of knowledge. And when the ismat is there, you find the hujjiyat in Islam comes along with the ismat. The milak of hujjiyat in Islam is the ismat of the shakhsi, of that shakhs. And this is why we find that we need to acquire. So we learn that we need to acquire the ma'rifat of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, which is related to her, the legality of her personality, which is related to the to our life. And when we recognize that this is where our responsibility is, consider her statements, her qawl and aqwal, consider her actions, her af'al, to be hujjat. Because the milak of hujjat was ismat, not imamat. The unwan is not the imamat, but ismat. So when we will consider that to be hujjat, then it is binding on us, it will ask us to obey. Isn't it right? The next step of accepting someone to be hujjat, we need to obey. So when we obey the personality, this is where the noor of ma'rifat comes after the obedience. So this is how the sequence is. Please say salawat. When the obedience of the person comes through avoiding the harams in the life, obeying the teachings of the aqwal and af'al, the statements and the actions, the seerat, the policies of life of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, when we have that sort of obedience in our life, that's where we we become deserving of as supporters of the hukumatul adl of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. My teacher says that Rasulullah constructed the first mosque, Masjid of Quba. Isn't it right? That is where when he migrated from Makkah to Medina, and he waited for Imam Ali alayhi salam at that spot where the Masjid of Quba was constructed, and the ayat of Quran was revealed there. The Masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwal yawmin ahaqqu an taquma fih fihi rijalun yuhibbuna an yatatahharu wallahu yuhibbul tahreen. So this is where those people who are yuriduna an yatatahharu fihi rijalun yuhibbuna an yatatahharu, this from Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 108. So this is how Rasulullah is preparing, my teacher says in the tafsir, Rasulullah is preparing the supporters of the government of justice by establishing the masjid. Masjid is established in Islam to become a foundation for the hukumatul adl. That's how it goes. And those people who care about abstaining from the harams, care about the taharat of their qalb, they are the ones who are eligible for the ta'sis, for the foundation of the hukumatul adl, supporting the hukumat of adl. Please say salawat. So Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha enjoys the khilafatullah. She is the khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She is not a nabi, she is not a rasul, she is not an imam, but she has the mansabul walaya, which entitles her to be the khalifa of Allah. That level of qurb of Allah, reflecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So khilafat, al-khilafatul ilahiyya. And talking about the imamat, if you look at the khutbah of Fadak that she delivers in front of the taghut of her time, she mentions talking about the wisdoms of some of those teachings of Islam when it comes to imamat. Wa imamatana nidhaman lil ummah. And Allah made the imamat for the ummah. That's how you find the whole ummah is well organized, well connected, calculated behaviors will happen, and divisions, diversions, inhiraf, and all these things will be avoided under the imamat. That's why I always say in my speeches, the whole concept of unity in Islam, unity means unity under walayat. Isn't it right? And I cannot just, I gather 100 people and take them towards a haram. I can't say, well, I united 100 people. This is not called united. Just because I gather 100 people, I take them towards a haram. If I take them towards a haram, this is not called unity. The whole concept of wahdat in Islam is unity under the haqq and leadership. لَوْ سَلَكَ النَّاسُ وَادِيًا وَسَلَكَ عَلِيٌّ وَادِيًا فَسْلُكْ وَادِيًا سَلَكَهُ عَلِيٌّ وَخَلِّ النَّاسَ طُرَّا. This is called unity. Unity is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ammar ibn Yasir, that if the people go towards one valley and Ali goes towards one valley, you go towards where Ali goes and leave the entire humanity aside. This is the wahdat of Rasulullah and the wahdat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Because we care about haqq. Unity under the leadership of haqq. Please say salawat. And the way you see the istidlal she's doing from the ayat of Holy Quran in front of the taghut, وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُدَ. Isn't it right? Using the verse of Holy Quran to prove the virasat, when the Maudu and fabricated maj'ul hadith and maj'ul was presented in front of her, who is the mazhar of the ilm al-mutlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This riwayatun maj'ula was presented in front of her, and she is doing the istidlal with the ayat of Quran, waz'amtum an la irsalana, and you people have thought that there is no inheritance for us. أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ تَبْغُونَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُقِنُونَ. So how she is doing the istidlal with various ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the tafsir, our scholars say that any hukumat which is not according to the mizan of Quran and the itrat, any hukumat which is not according to in Islam, any hukumat which is not in accordance with the mawazin of Quran and itrat, is considered to be a hukumat of jahiliyat. Such a great lessons that we learn from the khutbah of Fadak of Sayyida Zahra salamullahi alayha salawat. The naqawat and cleanliness of the soul. This you see in the riwayat of Salman al-Farsi. When Salman al-Farsi enters into the house of Amir al-Mumin Islam with the izn of the Imam, and he sees the blood. And in old days there used to be the hand mills. Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi used to grind the hand mill with her own hand. Isn't it right? So the handle of the hand mill, in the riwayat of Salman al-Farsi, the handle of the hand mill had the blood over it. This is what our scholars say, that blood used to come out from the hands of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha while she was doing the hand mill, grinding the wheat or the barley, whatever. And so Imam Hassan alayhi salam was there, young baby, crying because he was hungry. So many of the times there was no food in the house of Ahlul Bayt. This is the zuhud, abstinence from dunya. And this is the qana'at. Isn't it right? So this is how they did. And we find this kind of qana'at and zuhud and taqwa and obedience of Allah brings what sorts of results? When Imam Ali alayhi salam stands in need of some food, what was his food? Barley, which was eaten by animals. People used to feed barley to horses in those days. Isn't it right? He had no money to buy even the barley. And he goes to the house of Zaid. Zaid was a rich guy in Medina, a Jewish rich guy of Medina. Imam Ali alayhi salam takes the chadar of Sayyida Zahra sallallahu alayha to this rich Jewish guy in Medina called Zaid, and borrows, in lieu of their chadar, borrows some barley from Zaid. This is an authentic narration. And when the night happens, well, he put the chadar in a room of in the house. When the night happened, his wife witnesses such a huge, immense noor coming out of that room. And she goes into that room and she finds there's a noor, just like the full moon, narration says. Just like the full moon. The noor, so much immense, intense light coming out. She was astonished. She goes to her husband, you know, in the night, brings her husband, and they both see the noor coming out. And not just that, the narration says, he calls several members of his family in Medina. The narration says, 80 members of his family. They all come and they witness the noor coming from the chadar of Sayyida Zahra sallallahu alayha, and all of them convert into the Islam of Ahlul Bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This is the nuraniyat this is the noor of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha. Isn't it right? So she's doing the work in the house, and when someone asks him, you know, Fidda is there, her maid gifted by the Prophet. She is not taking any service from her on that day. And she says, you know, my beloved Rasulullah told me that one day the job of the house is the responsibility of Fidda, and the other day is your responsibility. So yesterday was Fidda's responsibility and today it's my turn. So Fidda is just there, not doing, you know, things. She's herself handling all the things of the house. This is the adl. This is the justice. And this is how, you know, this is how you keep the adl in the family. So we find that this kind of behavior produces children like Hassan and Hussein alayhi wasalam. This is the taharat of Sayyida Zahra sallallahu alayha. This is you know, the highness of Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein is unthinkable for us. They are the ma'sumeen. We cannot measure their highness, shakhsiyat haqiqi, the kunhuzat of their personality is unimaginable for us, because they are the mazahir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are unable to understand the highness of Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha, who is the mazhar of al-ism al-a'zam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can we understand the highness of al-Hasan and al-Husayn alayhim as-salam? So Sayyida Zainab, you know, fa'awma'at, she fa'asharat, fa'awma'at, she did the ishara only in the bazaar of Kufa. Aniskutu, be silent. You know, when the kafila enters, you find there are animals there with their bells. People used to hand bells in there in the necks of the animals. And people making noise, celebrating, talking to each other, doing things. Isn't it right? This is itself an insult. When the members of Ahlul Bayt are present in front of the crowd and they're talking to each other, this itself is an insult of Ahlul Bayt. And she wants to deliver a message. You cannot speak when the people are, you know, making noise. Just like the people made noise in Karbala. You know? And Imam al-Husayn al-Islam was delivering his khutbah and the Ashqiyah were making noise. And Kumait, Rahmatullah alayh, this famous poet, when he comes to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam and he mentions his Qasidatun Mimiyah in front of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, this is where Kumait also mentioned the same point. You know, the incident where Imam al-Husayn was about to deliver his khutbah, but the Ashqiya did not let him speak, you know, because of the, you know, let him speak in the sense that they didn't pay attention to him because they were making noise. So Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said to him that, in other words, I don't have any money to give you, but I will say to you what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had said to Hassan. Isn't it right? Hassan bin Thabit was a great poet who delivered his ash'ar, his qasida, in the occasion of Ghadir. اِذَنْ لِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَنْ أَقُولَ فِي عَلِيٍّ أَبْيَاتًا تَسْمَعُهُنَّ. He said, after the khutbah of Ghadir, Hassan stood up, فَقَامَ Hassan, and he said, allow me, the Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, to say a qasida, a poetry about Ali alayhi salam that you would listen. And Prophet said, قُلْ عَلَى بَرَكَةِ اللَّهِ. And this is where he said his famous qasida about Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is mentioned by Allama al-Amini in Kitab al-Ghadir. And when he was done, Rasulullah said to him that, La zilta mu'ayyidan bi ruhi al-Qudus ma zababta anna ahl al-bayt. As long as you keep on defending from us, ahl al-bayt, you will be supported by the ruh al-Qudus. So we find that Aziz Zainab salamullah alayha's personality is unimaginable for us when she does the ishara in the bazaar of Kufa without saying a word. This is the walayatun takwiniyah. And this shows she is the madhar of al-ismul a'zam. Just saying the ishara, you know, fasakanatil ajras, wartaddatil anfas. And all the bells of the animals became silent immediately. And all the breaths of the people were stuck in their throats. So no more noise. And then she starts her speech. So when we cannot understand the highness of Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayha, then we are unable to understand the highness of Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn alayhum as-salam. And she said in her wasiyyat to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Zawwajani Allahu minka li akuna laki fi dunya wal akhirah. Allah married me to you so that I be for you in dunya and akhirat. And she did her long list of wasiyats. And among that was not to allow anyone who did zulm upon me. Because they are, the enemies of enemy of Rasulullah. And to make a taboot for her, you know, that she learned from Asma bint Umais alayhi salam from Habsha when she came, you know, about that, about the way they do in Habsha. And so that kind of taboot where the body will not be visible when the janazah is carried in from the ghair al-maharim. And that the janazah be carried at a time when the eyes are sleeping. And don't let any of those people participate in my prayers.
In the Salatul Mayyit.
In other words.
And this is what Imam Ali did. Her grave was made in, there's ihtimal is in three different places. Three different places we have ihtimal where Sayyida Zahra sallallahu alayha is buried. Imam Ali alayhi salam, when she did his wasiyat, Imam Ali says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
And both of them cried. And then later on she said to Asma bint Umais that you call me and wait for a while. If I do not respond to your call, then understand that my soul has departed. So this is exactly what Asma bint Umais did. She called Sayyida Zahra from the outside of the room, but waited for a while, did not hear her answer. Then she went to call Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, both of them came. They come to their mother and they see the mother has already passed away. One of the children goes towards the head of the mother. One of the children goes towards the feet of the mother. How much love Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein had. How much Hazrat Zahra used to love her children. You know, and her janazah is then taken out when Imam Ali alayhi salam is the one who washes her body. Some of the scholars mentioned Imam Ali started to cry when he was washing. You know, how much Hazrat Zahra was sabira. She was doing sabr with the injury she underwent. When she came between the door and the wall. And Muhsin alayhi salam becomes shaheed. And we find now the janaza of this sabira is being taken out in the middle of the night. There are very few people attending in the janaza and participating, but at least some of the Ahlul Bayt were there. Some of the Muqarrab Ashab were there, like Salman al-Farsi, Abu Dharr, and Miqdad, and Huzaifat ibn al-Yaman. They were present there. And Buraida al-Aslami, some of the great companions were there to be present in the Tashiyul Janaza. But we find that the janaza in Karbala of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is lying there without the kafan for 3 days in the Maidan. And now, not just that, they take away the amama of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. They take away the shirt and qamis of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. They take away the izar, the waist belt of Imam al-Hussein. And they had to cut the hand of Imam Hussein to steal all that. And now all the janaiz were taken away by the people of their qabila, their tribes. But the only janaza lying there is the janaza of Imam al-Hussein. And Fidda salamullah alayhi, she comes to Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam, that I have big news for you. And she says, there is no big news for me after the shahadat of my brother. In other words. And she says that they are planning to crush the janaza of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein under the hooves of the horses. فَقَامَ عَشْرَةٌ مِّنَ الْفَوَارِسِ 10 of the horses are prepared to crush the janaza of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Ala la'natullah. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين
اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين